Welcome. Andrew Horowitz here, and it is Disciplined Investor Time. Episode number 43 is on tap for today, and we're going to be talking about a variety of areas. We have a great guest. I'll bring that to your attention in a moment. We also have a great giveaway. I really never did this before, but we have a great giveaway of some really cool things that's been given to us by our guest that's coming up, Chris Jolly, who's with Microsoft. He's actually the head of the MSN Money website. So we're going to bring that to you in a moment. I'm going to talk to you about a few things, and hopefully this is the place that you're going to be sticking to for your finance and money ideas, because we've been doing our best to bring it to you for, about 6-7 months now, and we're looking real strong. Membership is growing. Subscribership is growing. So thank you so much for your support.
The Disciplined Investor is all about you, your money, and the markets. Sit back and get ready for this edition of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
MSN Money in the house.
Let's get right into some of the discussions right now. I want to talk to you about the markets. Right now, the markets are hovering around 12,700 or so. And that is really a really important point, because if you look at the charts going back and just really draw a line right across 12,700, what you'll notice is that it is a consistent support and a resistance part up on the line on the part of the Dow right now. And why that's important is we're kind of entering into a time period where there's a lot of questions to be answered. Number one, will the Fed continue easing? And I question that moving forward. Obviously, they have a lot of ways in which they can, you know, work with the markets, and they can the Federal Open Market Committee can do all sorts of things to really push money and create liquidity inside the markets. But nonetheless, I think that the biggest issue right now that we need to be dealing with is the investor sentiment out there, because I do not think that people have a palate, they have the stomach or the tolerance to take any losses. And that's being the case, I think that's going to be a real concern moving forward. I have told you that I've been very concerned about these markets. I've been very, very clear about that. Yes, we have seen these reductions that have been put into play with the markets recently. And yes, we have seen the markets turn around dramatically. But realize, considering where we were in January to where we are now, we are still in significantly bad shape. We still have a lot of problems when it comes to these markets. All right, with that in mind, let's kind of do some cleanup here and some housekeeping. First of all, I want to tell you that we got a couple of really interesting, got a lot of emails actually off of last week's show. I talked about a few things that really had some people kind of interested. First of all, I got an email that I wanted to touch back on about the Harry Dent. And Harry Dent is a good friend of mine. He's an economist. I think he has just an amazing, amazing depth of knowledge when it comes to understanding not only the economy, but some of the things that affect the economy, the demographic economics that he has done. And, you know, the reviews that he has in his books is just outstanding work, really something to be extremely proud of. But I got an email from James M., and he writes to me, according to Harry Dent's ideas, as expressed in your podcast last year, shouldn't 2008 and 2009 be in an expansion bull market to get us ready for the big crash of 2010? And he goes on to talk about how, you know, is this really something that we should be worried about? Is this something that could really happen? Is Mr. Dent very way off here? And I will tell you this, it's something that that interests me, is that if, in fact, we are looking forward to a significant decline a la Harry Dent, a la John Dvorak in 2009 and 2010, you have to wonder if the markets are operating on an efficient basis. Don't they really do an advanced nature? Or don't they really kind of come in advance and say, okay, well, if that's the case, we're going to price it in beforehand. We're not going to wait until the end in order to do this, right? So with that in mind, I think that the important thing to recognize here is that you know, we are possibly on the front end of that. Now, I don't want to be the Mr. Gloom and Doom and the person who is the big bear here right now, because that's not the case. I feel that there are some great opportunities in the market, but at the same time, I think that we have to be extremely careful when it comes to what we're really going to be investing in right now, because there's a lot of headwind out there, and that could be seen very clearly when Bernanke came in and he did the early morning cut of rates, the 75 basis points cut, and the markets really didn't react that well initially. And the same was true when he came in with the planned 50 basis point, or the quote-unquote planned 50 basis point cut in the markets. You know, we saw that at that time it still was the same situation. We really saw that the markets didn't react too well with them. You know, I've been doing a lot of writing. I've been doing a lot of research on this at thedisciplinedinvestor.com. Hopefully you're going over there to check things out. You know, one of the things that I have been really looking at and has been really interesting me for some time now has been many of the stocks that have been overvalued in the growth orientation. We talked about that last time and had the really falling from grace and really getting slammed of late. You know, we saw Google recently, we saw VMware, we saw Yahoo, et cetera. Right after the Yahoo numbers came out, I put an interesting post on the website where you can do a slider and look at the difference between AOL and Yahoo and see how the sites are so similar. And I put a call out. I said, listen, guys, something has to be done. Somebody has to come in here and buy one of you, merge, do something. And wouldn't you know it? Wouldn't you know it? Just on the heels of that, it wasn't my doing, by the way. I mean, you know, I had nothing at all to do with that. But wouldn't you know it? You know, they came in and Microsoft put a hostile or a unscheduled bid, let's call it, for Yahoo. An amazing thing. We're going to get to that in 1 second. But before we do that, I want to talk about one more thing, an email I got. Because last time when I talked about some of this and some of my concerns, I talked about a way to play some stocks was to use some options. I try to stay away from discussions of options almost every time because it's very confusing even when you know a lot about it. And to try to get that information and really to teach that and to explain that sometimes gets a little bit confusing. And I seem to have, you know, afterwards I was thinking about it and a listener, John P. from the podcast listener said, you know, he wrote me a note. He said, listen, you know, I listened to what you said and I heard about the options. He's actually an investment advisor and he believed that I got it wrong. So I re-listened to my whole discussion on the options and I think that I kind of went a little bit around in circles and didn't explain it right at all. I will tell you this, and thank you very much, John, for pointing this out. When I talked about the Apple and I talked about how, you know, we wanted to make sure to protect some of it, I kind of got a little deep. Here's the point. What you want to do, very simply, I don't want to get into the whole detail. If, you know, one day we will maybe through a write-up of this. But bottom line, if you want to do some protection and really want to make sure that you have a hedge on your stocks, the number one way to do it is to buy a put option on it. It's a cheap way of buying some insurance. Very simple. The second way you can do it is if you think that there may be some volatility, but it really isn't going to go smashing down and you want to just grab some of the benefit from the volatility, well, what you could do is write a covered call, a call option, and write it against the stock that you own and collect some premiums. Very simple. And I kind of went on a different discussion last time about some different put ideas, and I don't think that was very clear, and I apologize for that. So when you're talking about hedging and you're looking at options, really, I want you to think about just doing some of the some of the things, the simple things like buying a put or just simply selling a call against a stock that you already own. Okay, with that in mind, one last thing I want to talk to you about is I talked to you about that we're going to have this giveaway. We have Microsoft's Chris Jolly coming on, as I mentioned. There are two copies of Microsoft Money Plus Home and Business. It's like a $90 value, plus there's a bunch of things in here that are worth, like they say, $900 of additional values in here. And all you have to do is simply, I'm going to tell you the rules again in a minute, but all you have to do is go to our website and fill in the form that says, okay, tell us what the meaning of CAPS, C-A-P-S is. It's the Motley Fool CAPS program, and it's in coordination with Microsoft. They do it together. Tell me what the acronym means, and you will be put in for the drawing. Two random selected winners that have submitted their right answer will be in for this drawing. We're going to do it through February 9th and give it to you. So get your way over there right now if you're one of the people that win. I think you're going to be very happy. This is a great program. All right, the last thing I want to talk about before we get into the discussion with Chris Jolly from Microsoft, it's kind of a really interesting coincidence, is this whole Microsoft and Yahoo, this get-together, this marriage, or at least this takeover, if you will, because I'll tell you something right now. If you think about it for a second, with this whole deal going on and what's happened to Yahoo over the years, I mean, Steve Ballmer is clearly dancing and Yang is, I'm sure, sobbing. You know, if you listen closely, just for a minute, you can almost hear the distant sounds of taps playing as the vultures are circling what I guess is probably left of one of the most beautiful and gorgeous technology stories in history. Because it's really amazing that after a pathetic quarter and an incredibly disappointing year, we think of Yahoo as really a has-been right now, don't we? And they're like kind of bleeding to death. They're bleeding a slow death, for that matter. And right now, the takeover announcement from Microsoft, I think, really changed the dynamic of technology. It really kind of cuts a hole in the fabric of the technology universe of what we knew it was and what it's to be. And I'll tell you something, the announcement is for about, what, $44 billion, a 66% premium over what Yahoo was worth when they started, or the shares were worth when they started trading that day. And really, I think there's more than meets the eye when it comes to this. And here's what it's about. I think that as I've been listening throughout the morning and I hear this announcement, I watch the people on CNBC early morning, and I start to think and about this. Let me go look at some of the websites and let me see what's going on. I look at the message boards. I look at the online community. And admittedly, this is one of those left-hand and left-field surprises that really kind of came on suddenly to a lot of people. Now, we all knew that Yahoo was having a lot of problems, right? We talked about it. I talked about it a lot. There was something that had to be done. But, you know, when we have these reporters who are still, like, you know, kind of only talking about Google, and they're kind of, as I say, gaga over Google, okay? The fact of the matter is that, wake up, guys, something has to be done. Google's total dominance of on the web is not going to last forever, and it never does when you're in that circumstance. Just look what happened to Yahoo, right? So as Google has been executing, I guess, probably almost, I would say almost flawlessly, and really kind of putting everything they do almost to, and doing it to perfection, Yahoo, on the other hand, has been quite the opposite, haven't they? And I'll tell you something, it's obvious that Microsoft is entering into this not only to try to get a real bargain, because it's somewhere in the, I think the quote was somewhere about $25 billion less than the original time they started talking about this is what they're able to buy this firm for at this time. But beyond that, the reasons and rationale, I think that what's going to be tossed around in the next few weeks is going to be great, but it's really about something totally different in my opinion. And what is it? It's all about Facebook, and more directly, it's about the Facebook Nation. It's apparently what I think is the main focus of the Microsoft plan, because really they've been trying to reinvent themselves and make themselves a kind of a cool company. Microsoft has been seen as the square-cornered Volvo, if you will, of the technology world, and I think that what they want to do is not only own the desktop, but they want to also own the action and the nightlife. And, you know, you think of a teenager who's living in their parents' home, and they once, you know, were kids and very dependent, but then they grow up, and now they just use the house as a flopping place, you know, place to eat and wash only. They tolerate the parents, yes, they keep them at a social distance, right? Once they have their wings, what happens? They're out of there. Apple has done an amazing job at capturing the early adoption of many of the Gen Xers, as we call them. And now what they're looking to do, in my opinion, is really get a real good grip of the Gen Ys. This is the social idealism. This is the generation that really is all about communication. And as Peter Sheehan, in his book Generation Y, said, they're after a sense of purpose, work, life, and balance, fun, variety, respect, and the opportunity to do real work that really makes a difference. Arguably, everyone wants these things from a job, but the difference is that with Generation Y is that they'll talk with their feet when their needs are not fulfilled. In other words, they'll just take off and leave. And that's the whole point here, that Microsoft really wants to grab it and create a tremendous amount of loyalty, because the communications vehicles of today and the choice of today is really text messaging, Facebook, and web apps. And this generation is clearly always on, totally connected and in a virtual conversation. Privacy is not as much of a concern to them as they thought of knowing that, as the thought of really kind of knowing that there's somebody out there listening and inside of a conversation is really much more important. And Yahoo offers sex appeal. It offers millions and millions of potential opportunities for eyeballs and the access to Microsoft, if you think about it, because that's something that Microsoft is desperately looking for. They have all the tools, but they don't have the sex appeal right now. So I think what they're doing is they're stepping up their cool factor, and Microsoft is really looking to take the next level and kind of leap ahead. Now, listen, they are not going to take the 75 or 76% of overall market share from Google. In fact, I mean, right now, if you look at MSN and Microsoft and Yahoo combined, it's somewhere in about the 20% overall market share. But the timing couldn't be better for this. Listen, Google comes out with an announcement that they're short on earnings. Yahoo is in bad shape. Microsoft comes in right at the right time and gobbles up Yahoo. Amazing, amazing story right here. We are big fans of Microsoft. Full disclosure, we have a huge position in Microsoft, and we love them. We think it's a great stock to own, and I would suggest as a stock, quote-unquote, idea, that you think about looking at Microsoft a little bit down on this announcement and consider it adding to your portfolio. I think it's going to be a just amazing winner, and I think there's a lot of opportunity to be the second one behind Google and to really gain some market share here. Maybe, obviously, not take it over, but gain some market share. So I think that's going to be really the play right now, and we got to be really looking for those kind of very specialized situations. You're going to see a lot more things cropping up in the technology area. I will try my best to bring them up next week. In the next podcast, I'm going to bring you a slew of stock ideas. I told you I've been holding off some time. I want to see what was going to happen with the Fed. I'm going to bring you the disciplined investors' ideas for investing moving forward. So make sure to subscribe and stay tuned. When we get back, we're going to talk with Chris Jolly from Microsoft. We're going to give away the Money Plus Home and Business software, and he's going to give us a virtual tour of the site. All on the Disciplined Investor. Stick around. It's going to be good. We'll be right back.
Yo, I'm a thousandaire. Did you get that vibe? A straight up bro with the thousandaire tribe. Got chips in the game. I'm no cook. Got a couple thou invested with my investment club. I buy real low. I sell real high. That's what MSN experts are telling me to try. Got solid advice on my 401. I also play like a player on the market all day. On MSN, I grow my numbers. Got a sweet refi. Yeah, feel my thunder. The power I got, I can't explain. Especially when I know I'm paying capital gains. I'm a thousandaire, yeah, did you get that vibe? I'm doubling what I'll be making 9 to 5. I check my stocks on MSN Money. Follow financial trends like a bear follows honey.
MSN Money gives you all the up-to-date stats, news, and analysis to follow your investments. Have you been to MSN today?
Special guest today, and that is Chris Jolly. He is with Microsoft. As a matter of fact, he is, I think, the big daddy of Microsoft Money and MSN Money. And I want to thank you very much for joining us today, Chris.
Andrew, thanks very much for having me.
So, you know, we've talked, and I've told you that I am just a tremendous advocate of the Microsoft Money site for a lot of reasons. And really, I think, you know, I've used it as a professional. I use a lot of the tools, and I think that, you know, for the price, which is obviously free, it's a great thing. Who's the target audience that you're really trying to focus on?
Well, you know, money is one of those things that really affects everybody. So when you talk about the specific target audience, I think our site is so broad and so deep, it really depends on the specific activity that the individual investor or the personal finance consumer is trying to do. So at a very high level, you know, we found, for example, within investing, there are kind of two categories of investors, the ones that are fairly active. And active doesn't necessarily mean that they trade a lot, but they like to pay attention to the latest news on what's going on with particular companies or the markets overall. And they're a little more savvy than the other set of users, which are people that would like to start investing but don't quite know exactly how to get started, or they're just kind of dabblers.
Right.
So our site is built in the investing area around both the casual user or the person that's just interested in getting started and wants to learn more, as well as more of the hardcore active investor.
It is really amazing how feature-rich it is, because in the quote-unquote old days, when all we had was a Bloomberg terminal, and that was extraordinarily expensive. And when you first came out with, I don't even know what exact year it was, but a number of years ago with the MSN or Money Central at the time, I was like, oh, yep. Wait a minute. I'm paying how much for a Bloomberg machine, and I can get it for how much over there? And my big question always was one thing, and it was the accuracy and how up to date the data was. You know, that's a big concern. You know, in terms of like the screener, for example, I mean, how accurate, I mean, or up to date is that data?
Well, in a lot of cases, it's real time data. But I think you hit the nail on the head. It's something that we pay quite a bit of attention to in terms of how we allocate a lot of the resources. But in terms of how we apply the various competencies that we have internally, timeliness of the information as well as the accuracy of the information are really first and foremost what we strive for, because without those two, you don't really have a very good personal finance site.
Right, exactly.
I mean, let's face it.
So why is yours free, though? I mean, that there's a big difference between paying $2,400 a month and free. I mean, really.
You know, when Andrew, we think back 10 years ago, and it seems in some ways eons ago, and in other ways it seems like yesterday. But, you know, back then, a lot of people were still getting their thought quotes by looking in the newspaper the next day.
right. You know? Right.
And a lot of times, you know, they obviously didn't always print all the different markets. Well, now we're able to offer free real-time quotes on MSN Money, so you can literally get a real-time quote free. So, you know, it's just incredible when you look back and really think about the advances, not only in the technology, but in the adoption of how many consumers are actually using the various services and tools available to them. And just the overall, the way that we're able to do that, of course, from a business model perspective, is just the fact that when you have 12 to 14, 15 million people coming to your site on a monthly basis, you can offer those type of things free and support it through an advertising-based model.
Right. So when you are looking at the site in terms of usage, I mean, is there a... I mean, I don't know if you actually know this, but I would think the majority of the people, you know, are going to hit the front pages, but the finance is a big part of the MSN site.
In terms of personal finance?
Yeah, you know, how many people are hitting it? I mean, how many people are actually entering in that area?
Oh, absolutely. When you look at the site usage, we do have a lot of people that come to check frequently their portfolio. But also, people like our columnists, people like Jim Juback and mm-hmm. Liz Pulliam Weston, mm-hmm. Who are very, very popular among among the internet crowd. In fact, Jim and Liz both, by almost a 10-to-1 ratio, have become the most popular investing and personal finance columnists on the web. So when you think about people like, Jim Cramer, for example, people read Jim Juback 10 times more than they do what Kramer has in terms of content on the web.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. I mean, Jim's a great guy. I don't know if you know this. We had Jim Juback on our show maybe about 2 months ago. It was actually the premier show for the Zune Marketplace, and we asked Jim to come on. He's a very smart guy, very savvy investor.
Yeah, he's always fun, and he's also entertaining and fun to listen to, I think. You know, so he... it's just amazing the number of people that are reading his articles on a regular basis, and some of his insights, obviously, over the last couple of weeks have been particularly interesting as the Dow has kind of gone up and down a little bit.
Up and down. Let me ask you this before we go. I want to ask you for a little help going through something that I've kind of thought about. But two questions and more of a technical issues, and I want to do this. Number one. A big question that comes up a lot is the confidentiality of data and security. You know, I get the question, you know, why would I do it's getting better, obviously, but there was a big question of, you know, I'm going to put my investments on the web and I'm going to trade on the web and I'm going to put my information. How do I know it's secure?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, how do you protect that?
Well, I think it's certainly something that at a company level, Microsoft has placed a great deal of emphasis on. I think if you look at some of the things that Bill Gates has said over the last 3, 4, 5 years, we have a whole company-wide initiative called Trustworthy Computing, where every single group at Microsoft, every product that goes out, goes through very intense security and privacy scrutiny before it ever gets to any consumer or business. So it's absolutely something that I think is super important, and it's something that our company in particular has placed a great deal of focus and energy on.
Okay. And then another one more technical question, then we're going to get into this other issue. And by the way, we're going to, for those listening out there, Microsoft was kind enough to send one of their top products, Microsoft Plus Home and Business, the Money Plus, and we'll share that with you in a minute. And we have two of them to give away to our listeners. We don't really give away a lot of stuff on the show, but I thought it would be kind of cool. ActiveX, for those people who are using, let's just say anything but Internet Explorer, maybe there's two or three people out there like that. I mean, some of the things on your site, like the screener, some of the charting, I believe some of the portfolio areas, what is a person to do if for whatever reason they don't have, I mean, if they just don't have, their Internet Explorer is broken, I don't know, whatever. How do they go about, is there a way, is there a workaround, how does that work?
Well, today ActiveX is something that that Apple has chosen not to support, so it's really a technology decision, and as technology decisions go, there's obviously a lot of different companies with different perspectives on different pieces of bits. So Right now, the ActiveX is something that we offer on the IE, the Windows platform, mm-hmm. and so it's optimized for Internet Explorer. Now, at the same time, obviously, we've recognized that there are people out there that would like to use some of the tools. The trade-off, of course, is that when you use good, super cool technology, cutting edge technology, where, if you think about like where Silverlight is probably going to go and Ajax and some of these other components, several years ago, ActiveX kind of fits into that mold, and there are definitely new and interesting capabilities that come about. So creating the really detailed charts, for example, and the sophisticated stock screens are all enabled by those technologies. And so, in the perfect world, I think it'd be supported across all platforms, but sometimes you have to make the hard choices. But we also have HTML versions of our most popular tools as well. So anybody can use those, whether they're using IE or Firefox.
All right. When we get back, we're going to talk about a virtual walkthrough. I'm going to ask you some questions, and we'll talk about how to get the Money Plus and all that. And stick around. We'll be right back on the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
Stick around for more of the Disciplined Investor Podcast.
The Disciplined Investor Podcast is sponsored in part by Horowitz & Company, a registered investment advisor and money manager.
Looking for answers to today's complex financial markets? Then be sure to get your copy of The Disciplined Investor, Essential Strategies for Success, your all-in-one guide to investing. Order now at thedisciplinedinvestor.com or your favorite bookstore. The Disciplined Investor. Together, we will reach success.
All right, we're back with Chris Jolly from MSN Money, and I want to talk about this this really cool product, because this is great. It's you have an online and offline. Tell me about what the MSN Money Plus, is it? It covers a lot of areas. I got to tell you, it's balancing your checkbooks, and it does creating and managing budgets and doing some tax work. Really, tell me what this is all about.
It's a great application and tool to help people stay on top of their finances. So if you, for example, have, as the typical U.S. household has today, a lot of different accounts, so suppose you have a checking account or a savings account with one with your local bank, and then perhaps a couple of major credit cards and maybe some other investment accounts, it's a great way to bring all that information together in one place and have it updated automatically, so you can see where your money's going, get the detailed categorization that comes with some of the budgeting tools and the reports that we offer. It's a very, very powerful in-depth program.
It seems like it takes a lot of things that you do online and really just juices them. I mean, that's the best way I could describe it, because there's a lot of analysis pack. I mean, I was really impressed with the online side, but this is great because one of the things that I preach, I preach it and I scream it from the top of the rafters, is that people need to understand where they are. They need to benchmark and understand, without a map, nobody knows where they're going, right? So how do they actually, how do they, get a grip of where it is? Because most brokerage statements don't give them the information. They're working with an advisor. Most advisors don't really prepare really great information pieces. And when I ask people when I first meet them where are your assets, and they start just throwing shoe boxes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, like, okay, what do you have? I says, I don't know. It seems like I have more because I have an extra shoe box now.
That's right.
As opposed to really understanding it. So this is an offline product, and it also obviously integrates online. Does this replace, like a Quicken?
Yeah, exactly. It's it's a direct competitor to Quicken. And it's interesting you mentioned, when I have talked to a lot of financial advisors or people like you who have been in the business for quite a while, one of the things that they share with me consistently is the amount of time and effort that it takes up front to help prepare clients, just getting all of their information together and getting the picture. And in fact, it's one of the things that the financial advisors that I've talked to say they like the least about their job.
Mm-hmm. I hear you. The administrative paperwork. Yeah, no, I agree.
Sure, you can relate. So it's a great way. In fact, a lot of advisors recommend Money Plus to their clients and tell them the first step is to get all your information in there and then print out some of the basic reports and bring them to the initial session, because then it's you spend a lot more time on the analysis piece and figuring out smart things to do rather than spending your time just figuring out where you're at.
Right. No, I mean, what's really great is that I guess one of the things I really liked here was that this one, there's three different versions. I guess that's a Microsoft thing, getting multiple versions of stuff. But this is the home and business version that you sent me, and that is you get estimates for an invoicing for small business, which adds to it. You could track and schedule your Schedule C information and do some of, again, the checkbooks and integration with all the major banks, I assume. That's really cool. So this is what we're going to do. I got two copies. It's I guess you guys sell for about, or retails for about $89. And you have some kind of a package in here worth about $900. So what we're going to do is this. I thought we would have everybody, they can go to the website. There's a question I want you to answer. We'll put a little in the show notes, you know, win the money plus. And it's answer this question. What does CAPS, C-A-P-S, stand for? MSN Money and Motley Fool's CAPS have integrated within the MSN Money and the Money Plus software. And I want you to tell me, what does that acronym stand for? And we're going to choose two random correct answers, and we'll send you this. So thank you, Chris. Thank you, Microsoft, for making that available to my listeners. That's great. And we'll mention that again in a minute. All right. So let me ask you this. This is what I want to do. I want to go through a virtual walkthrough of how someone can actually use the site. Okay.
Sure.
So I'm an investor. All right. Let's suppose that I want to find stocks and, I'm looking, I really kind of want to start from scratch. And so where do I go first? Do I go to is it the news page? Is it the screener? Where should I really kind of go first?
Well, I think if you have a specific company in mind, I think the easiest way is to type in a ticker symbol, or if you don't know that, it'll actually pull up a find symbol box and allow you to get the latest information on a particular company. If you don't know and you just want to get kind of your feet wet and figure out what's going on in the market first before you do a deeper dive into any individual company, a great place to go is the investor homepage.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you just go to MSN Money and you click on the investing tab at the top, you can see January 31st, 2008, 7:21 p.m. Eastern Time. Dow up 207 as stocks rebound. So you might want to read up about the activity, the most recent activity in terms of the market, and then you can see some of the other content as you move down the page. Home buyers market, hardly. Investors emotion.
Oops.
there's some fun headlines.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah. Right, on any other time, it would be kind of serious. These days, we've got to take it like it's a parody.
you got to... when life gives you lemons,
yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, you make lemonades, or you look for the opportunities. I guess.
So but, once I find that, I mean, I want to look at the fundamental data. Obviously, there's a ton, uh-huh. There's a huge amount of analyst estimate. To be honest with you, I'll tell you something. I don't want to say there's too much. There's never too much, but there is just a vast amount of information there that can be utilized. And actually, some of the things, you know this, I'm sure, but you could actually bring it into Excel and utilize Excel to then automatically update whenever you need it, which is kind of neat, the various aspects of that. At least we used to be able to do
that.
Right. And I do that sometimes. But, so you can open up your Excel and have all these different sheets with all the data that you want, and then use multipliers whatever the ratio analysis that you're using to create your own sort of valuation models, which we do from time to time. So tell me about the screener. That's something that's always really fascinated me. I use it a lot. I think that... I'll be honest with you. I think it'd be really cool if I may just to the suggestion box, if you added some more of whether it's O'Shaughnessy screens or whoever else is out there doing a lot of quant work, Bar Rosenberg, add some of those. It's not that big of a deal to add those, to have those kind of built in. I think it would be kind of neat.
Yep. Now I think a lot of the customization and the powers is definitely helpful. What we have added over the last few years are things like new criteria, like the stock scouter ratings. Mm-hmm. And the stock scouter is a great system that we've come up with Camelback Research Company. And it's a very simple way of rating the future performance of stocks on a scale of 1 to 10. So if that's something you're interested in terms of putting into your screen criteria, That's available, but I think you're right. The customization and some of the things that we can add moving forward are definitely interesting.
You know, what's really neat about the screener, where I find the most power, is where you can utilize, for example, let's just, you know, go with what you're saying here. Utilize maybe the the scouter numbers. Let's say it's five or six, whatever it is. But then you could use the analyst FYIs, if you will. But you can then compare them to another part of the screen. And what that does is it creates additional filtering to do comparative filtering within the filter. And I know this probably sounds confusing, but it's really powerful. It's great.
It's amazing. I think sometimes difficult to describe. I have a hard time coming up with some really good ways to really illustrate the power, but it's amazing because you do exactly what you said, Andrew. You take all the stocks in the world, and then you literally just instantly whittle them down based on the criteria that you think are important. So, for example, you can say, I want to see all the companies that have a market cap over $1 billion that have grown at a rate of 15% a year for at least 5 years and have a stock scatter rating over 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then instantly you will get those companies pulled up, and then, of course, you can do additional analysis and compare those against other companies that you may be familiar with. They will show other companies that are in the same sector. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
The power.
And what I did is, and I sent it to you, I think hopefully you got my book. I have a chapter.
I did. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome. I have a chapter that's dedicated to quantitative investing. And in that chapter are screenshots and are discussions of exactly how you want to find the dogs of the Dow. This is how you do it, step by step, using the screener, the MSN Money screener, and kind of taking it from further, other screens which may be beneficial. You know, last week on our blog we put the top 25 dividend yields of the S&P 500. The week before that we did some of the growth stocks that are kind of look undervalued right now. And I think that, you know, people really, and I'm telling my listeners this, that if you haven't had the experience of using the screener for idea generation, because I think that's what it's all about, is really getting great ideas and understand, play with it. I mean, it's, you know, it doesn't cost anything to go and just, you know, kind of click around and figure out all the drop downs and see what comes up. It's really quite a tool. And if you're just sitting there looking at the same stocks every single day and thinking that I'm going to invest in that or that, there's a whole universe of ideas that open up to you, and maybe they'll be profitable ones. That's the trick.
Oh, it's amazing. You could spend literally days going through and doing that. Now, for the person that says, hey, you know, doing my own screen may be a little too deep right now, we also put together kind of the screens that some of the editorial staff thinks would be interesting. So, for example, new 52-week highs, or the highest yielding S&P 500 stocks. As you mentioned, you know, dogs of the Dow, very popular one. Contrarian strategy.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just click on those, it'll automatically pull up the list. And then if you want to go in and see the criteria used, you can actually see like the PE ratios, the averages, the current dividend yield, current ratios, etc.
Yeah.
So it's just amazing. And then the other tool that I think is really interesting for when you asked about how to get started, I think the Research Wizard, which is listed under Guided Research, is another very, very powerful tool that we have. And that's where literally if somebody is, once they've identified a company, if they want to figure out, what does the company do? Give me some information on the fundamentals. Is the business sound? Is it growing? What's the price history? What are the targets? What do the analysts think? Is it upgrade, downgrade, buy, hold, sell, that type of thing? And then you can actually do comparisons to other companies that you may be considering buying, and then see all the criteria, all the core fundamental information for those companies side by side. It's amazing what software combined with real-time information from a variety of different data providers can bring.
Yeah, no,
today.
It really is. And what's nice about that particular feature
is it brings much of the top information and summarizes it for you in a report. You could either get the robust and total overview report, I think, or just kind of a chopped down version. But it brings all of the best of the best, to the report, and you just click one button, it builds it for you, and then you output it. Now you have your own report that was done personally for you in real time. That's really really the best part of that. So let me go back and ask you another question. Alerts. A lot of people are interested in tracking and alerts. Tell me about the portfolio tool and how it integrates with MSN, non-money, if you will, and then also alerting features that people can use.
Sure. So let me tackle the portfolio manager first. I think it is very fair to say that our portfolio manager is, if not the best, one of the best portfolio managers available on the web today. And it is, as you mentioned, also free. This is the ActiveX version that I'm referring to. Mm-hmm. But it is a great way for an individual investor to aggregate all of their investment accounts. So this is where you have a pretty common scenario where some people may have a 401k with the company financial institution, and then have a separate individual investment account somewhere else. And then they also have perhaps a money market account that they'd like to bring in that they sometimes use to use those funds to buy or sell. So it's a great tool to not only aggregate that information, but also see the overall reports and the different information available for those individual stocks all in one place.
Right.
So it does just a number of things. And if you haven't played with the portfolio manager on MSN Money, I definitely encourage you to do that. I think I think it's fun.
Now, let me just also say something. Now, truly, what's really nice about it also is, let's say that you want to track your portfolio, but then I have what I call watch portfolios, watch one, watch two. For example, healthcare stocks that I'm watching in a portfolio. And what's nice about it is you can collapse it or open it up, and depending on what you want to look at any given time, and look at those, and then change the column sets on the fly to look at, let's say, the fundamental data on the stock, then change it over, and maybe I want to look at the some of the technical or the analyst data on the stock, and it just automatically will change on the fly. So this way, it's very easy to look at, and I'm a big fan of efficiency, big fan of efficiency. I have 8 screens around me right now, okay, on multiple computers that I work with, and thank goodness for the swivel chair. That's the greatest invention ever, okay? And the fact is that I'll just say it this way. I mean, I'll bring it right over. I mean, the fact is the portfolio manager is a swivel chair. I mean, you're able to just on the fly just move all around and find out what you're doing and making it really easy on you, so you don't have to go in 20 different places, and then from there also launch into research right from the portfolio manager.
Yeah, and now, Andrew, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, not only can you manage the accounts, but we have the link to news, you can track the stocks. And when you talk about customization, let me just touch on that point very quickly because it comes up quite frequently. There are typically a couple hot buttons or a couple criteria that people really key in on when they are doing their research. And so having the 30-odd or so variables in terms of the customization that you can do is really important to that target audience of the active investor, the person that really stays on top of their investments. Because not only can you customize your view, but you can set predefined views. So if, on most days you want to see how, as you mentioned, the healthcare industry is doing, and then some of the other core holdings that you have or watch accounts, you can do that. But then on other days, maybe you want to set up something else and just kind of play with it a little bit more. The number of different options you can do in terms of the customization is really powerful. And the quote watch list is just it's just a great way for people who don't have any individual investments but still obviously want to follow that particular stock. The integration with the message boards and some of the new blogs that we're doing, it's just a very powerful integrated way of bringing that information to consumers.
And I think if someone wants to populate, or I should say synchronize their current portfolios at a broker, pick your broker, whatever it is. I believe there is an integration tool that will allow to handshake with security and privacy so that it will keep that updated at all times. Isn't that true?
Yeah, it depends on which financial institution you're talking about, but that's a big piece of the Money Plus software, where we really rely on the information to be automated and streamlined into the Money Plus product from the financial institution, because that, of course, takes out a lot of the legwork and the manual entry, which lets people play around with it a little bit more instead of entering information.
Exactly. Okay, so tell me about now, you know, we're going to talk about two more things. Tell me about the alerts features and the, let's talk about the communications, I guess it would be the best way to describe it.
Sure. So we have essentially, well, I guess things are changing a little bit. I might put blogs in some of the communication now as well. but we certainly have the, and we've launched a number of those recently where it's a great way for the community to get involved and share different ideas and kind of stay abreast of what's going on, both within within the markets, but also just other general personal finance topics as well. But in addition to that, we have a lot of several different newsletters that are delivered right to your inbox. So we have This Week on MSN Money, which is essentially tracking the latest happenings on our site. We have a really interesting one called the Strategy Lab Update. And the Strategy Lab is a, it's kind of like a stock market simulation where you can follow the professionals. We have anywhere from, I think it's 6 to 10, depending on the Strategy Lab time frame. But you can follow and see how they invest $100,000 and see how the different strategies kind of play out. So, for example, if somebody takes a contrarian approach, you can see how they would do in given the current market conditions versus somebody with a more traditional approach. We also send a market summary email and a community report. And in terms of alerts, of course, investment alerts are the most popular. So when your stock moves above or below a certain price threshold, or if there is a change by an analyst, like an upgrade or downgrade, or any other relevant information like that, we can send an alert right to your desktop to make sure you know about
that. Yeah, that's good stuff, because obviously, you know, I advocate also not watching the screen all day. I think that people, you know, to be honest with you, are not productive in their jobs because they're focusing too much on this kind of things, where that if they can customize it so that they're alerted when they need to know, you know, instead of going and just, you know, when they don't need to know, I think that employers will be much happier. They'll be much more productive. I can't tell you how many times I go into a workplace. I'm looking around saying, what are you guys working on? I'm like, uh-oh, what's that financial page doing up? What's that financial? And you're on YouTube? I mean, is anybody working anymore? You know? It's unbelievable.
No, Andrew, you know, that is something that we have actually talked a lot about over the last year, and that is, how can we bring information that people are going to want to know when it happens, and we're talking like the timely information that goes along with alerts, without being too intrusive and without it being kind of ever-present. And so one of the things that we have done on the software side with the Money Plus product is this year we launched a new feature called Insights. And these are essentially little widgets or gadgets, but they function in a slightly different way, where they rely on the information that is included in the money file, the individual money file, and then would alert you whenever you're spending, like if you preset category limits for your budget and say, hey, I want to track when my dining out expenditures go above $300. We will then put an alert right there in the system tray, so it's there, people notice it, but it's not kind of intrusive.
Yeah, that's so good. I'd be getting those every day.
Yeah, conceptually, I think you and several others, including me. And the hobbies are another one.
Wow. Now, let's keep that. We'll put that on mute. So where are you going next? Give me something that we can bite into and you know, something that's in beta maybe. I'm not asking you to kind of, you know, reveal something as a secret, or maybe I am, I don't know. But something that's coming that we could really find is like, wow.
Well, I think if you're a fan of portfolio managers and the charts, I think you're going to be pretty happy with the direction that we're going. I think the in terms of our site, again, kind of at the high level, there's the investing segment, and then there's the personal finance segment. We are going to continue to invest in building really interesting, useful, and I can't emphasize this enough, easy to use tools that help people not only understand where they are, but also we want to kind of take it to the next level and help them make smarter decisions.
Oh, that's good.
So whether it's through the additional, and the way that we really believe that we can do that the best is kind of what sets us apart from some of the other sites out there that have taken different approaches, is the combination of how we combine our editorial team, and we think, again, you know, top-notch editorial team, providing insight on a daily basis. But you wrap that around tools from Microsoft, and you put those together in a very contextually relevant way for the consumer, a very task-oriented, a very specific way when people are, if they're in the mindset to research stocks, that's what we're going to provide them, a great experience holistically when you bring the content and the tools together.
That's great. That's great. I mean, I think I gravitated towards it because, I mean, there's a lot of choices out there, but I gravitated towards it because, again, I have professional tools, but sometimes, you know, you want to kind of blend up what you're doing. Sometimes the professional tools aren't the easiest to work with. And, you know, you've really done a great job. And I recommend it all the time to my clients. And like I said, I've written about it in 3 or 4 of my chapters of my book. And I really focused on that because I think it was really the best that's out there. And then, by the way, we had our awards, our 2007 BESPE Awards, and we covered each of the different blogs and sites and tools and all that, and each we had some specialty areas, but Microsoft MSN Money took the overall award for the best site for finance. So that was kind of cool. That was the end of 2007. We gave that award, so I was very pleased with that. Let me just tell our listeners again that you know, thanks to Microsoft, they sent us a couple of copies of the Money Plus Home and Business, the top product in this product line, which will give you the ability to easily manage your receivables and create customer estimates, invoices, run your business. Also, make sure to coordinate your finances and do budgeting and managing tax issues and totally incorporating your investments and all that. And it's a $90 value for the package plus a whole bunch of other things bundled in here. And we're going to give these away. All you have to do is go to the site, thedisciplinedinvestor.com, and answer the question, what do the acronyms CAPS stand for, which is the integration, the Motley Fool's CAPS. And you'll find out more when you go research and figure out what those are. And you answer that question, we'll pick 2 random winners. And we will have that running through, I believe, next week. So look at the site. We'll tell you when the end date is. And you can win this. We'll send it right to you. So thanks so much for that. I really appreciate that. And our listeners appreciate that. And if you're not one of the winners, go buy it, gang. It's going to be a big help for you. And anyway, in these markets, we can, you know, help people to, you know, kind of stay the course and kind of get back to basics. This is my new thing. It's a back to basics tour I'm doing right now and trying to get people to realize that they need to really focus on the things that are smart, not just all the noise out there and the fame and glory that seems to be, you know.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's going to get them hurt because that's what they're doing. They're being led into that. It's a trap. Yeah. So, Chris Jolly, thanks for joining me on the Disciplined Investor Podcast. I really appreciate it.
Andrew, thanks so very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. Well, we just put another edition of The Disciplined Investor in the can, if you will. Episode number 43 of The Disciplined Investor. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Keep subscribed. Have a great week. I think things are going to be changing moving forward. Next week, we're going to bring up all about you know, some stocks that are moving forward, some ideas for you, and tell you about some great ways to invest, I think, moving forward in this kind of environment with many of the things going on. And in addition to that, we're going to have some updates from Microsoft and from me for Microsoft on how to use the site, some stock screens, and I think a few things that will make you hopefully profitable and keep you safe in this market condition. This is Andrew Horowitz saying have a great, great day, and I'll see you next time on episode 44 of the Disciplined Investor Podcast. I'm doubling what I'll be making 9 to 5.
check my stocks on MSM Money. Follow financial trends like a bear.
The information presented in this podcast is not intended to be used as the sole basis of any investment decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the investment needs of any particular investor. Some discussion contain forward-looking statements which are based on current expectations and differences can be expected. The Disciplined Investor's host, Andrew Horowitz, is a certified financial planner and registered investment advisor regulated by the SEC. None of the information presented should be construed as an offer to sell or buy any particular security. As always, use your best judgment when investing.